If you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter number 4. Brother Rule did a great job in the introduction. He preached the whole message. And we've already had the offering. We had a special. We're going to pray in a minute. We'll be dismissed, okay? And so, Colossians chapter number 4. Why don't we stand together in honor of God's word? Chapter 4, and verse number 1, it says, Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. I do pray that you'd speak to our hearts, encourage us. I pray that you would equip us, Lord, to do your work this coming fall season. And I pray that you bless our pastor, continue to help him as he prepares for the upcoming series and continue on New Life and the messages leading up to the open house and then Open House Sunday. And Lord, just these upcoming weeks, I know that they've been very heavy upon his heart. And Lord, I pray that you just would bless him and encourage him and strengthen him as he studies and prepares. And I pray that as a church that we would bind together and that we would labor together for you. And I pray that you bless this time. Use it now. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I remember playing Little League Baseball growing up. I think I started when I was 5 or 6 years old and played till about 16 years old. And I tell you, I always wanted to be on that championship team. You know, the team that made the playoffs and you know, you win the championship. And, man, I always wanted to do that. And I honestly, I didn't mind what it took to become a championship team. Practice. I love practice. I was always there. I was there early. I never forgot my glove. I always had my baseball cleats. And I never complained about shagging flies or running the bases or doing the bunting drill. I just loved it all. However, I didn't make that much of an impact on our teams. I remember one year we went 0-14. We didn't win one single game that year. Not much of an impact. None at all. We stunk. Matter of fact, the local company that sponsored our team was Lawn's Funeral Home. We were dead before we even started. But spiritually speaking, we have an opportunity this fall to make an impact. I mean an eternal impact in the people, in the people's lives throughout the valley this season. When someone comes to Christ, that's more important than winning a ball game or advancing to the playoffs or winning the division or even the World Series. When someone comes to Christ, their life is radically changed for eternity. The Bible tells us in John 5 and verse number 24, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not have condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And I would like to think that the Wednesday night crowd here at Lancaster Baptist Church has a desire to make an impact in this valley for the cause of Christ. However, in the process of wanting to make that eternal impact, I think we make a huge mistake by leaning on the arm of flesh too often. Relying on our ability, relying upon our past victories, relying upon maybe our numbers, relying upon, well, someone else will do it. But I believe we need to take the admonition that God gives to us in Ephesians chapter number 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in his power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. How will we ever make an eternal impact in people's lives throughout our valley? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And the first point I'd like to share with you is found in verse number 3, where the Bible says, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am in bonds. First of all, how are we going to make an impact this year in the lives of multiple people throughout the Antelope Valley? It's by the role of prayer and witnessing. Prayer. What is the role of prayer in our outreach? Why is prayer important? The Bible says in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 25, Paul said this, brethren, pray for us. Paul knew the importance of prayer and needing God's enabling power to do the work if it's going to really have an impact in people's lives. And as a church, we need to understand that it's not us that do it, but it's God working in and through us, and we need to be a church that totally depends upon God to do that work throughout our ministry and then throughout our community. But how are we going to pray? First of all, prayer produces opportunities. Prayer produces opportunities. Look what the Bible says here. With all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door. Now listen, these doors of opportunities, only God can open those. Now we may knock and we may ring and we may kick the door down, but listen, we need to look at the opportunities to say, God, we need you to open up these doors. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 12, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 16 and 9, for a great door, an effectual, is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Pray for opportunities so that we can share our faith with our family, our friends, and even our co-workers. As we think about our outreach this coming fall season, it would be a good thing for us to ask, how am I doing in my prayer life and asking God to open doors so that I might make a difference in our community for eternity? Listen, we can't rest in our ability. We can't rest in maybe our planning. What we need to do, we need to rest in the power of God. We need to ask God to give us those opportunities to reach people with the gospel of Christ. I remember years ago, I was out soul winning with Brother Lester, and I was just praying, Lord, use me, help me to see somebody get saved. And I had a little stretch there where I didn't see anybody saved. I was getting a little kind of frustrated in my own spirit and saying, Lord, help me, help me, help me. I just really began to pray about it. And I remember we grabbed the map and we just had a little section. And it was on a Friday afternoon. We only had a little time to do it before a staff meeting. And so we went out, and the first door I went to, as I was walking up to the door, I heard the TV set on. It was just loud. You could hear it. So I knew somebody was home. So I rang the doorbell, and no one answered, so I knocked a little bit, and no one answered, and then I kind of waited. You know, it's like, okay, I'll wait when there's the silence, like maybe between commercials or something, or, you know, like when someone's vacuuming, you know, you kind of wait till they turn it off, and then you ring the doorbell real fast. And so I was kind of waiting for that opportunity, and all of a sudden, I didn't hear anything, so I knocked really loud, and all of a sudden, I realized, okay, they heard that. And I remember hearing those footsteps as the person was coming to the door, and I'm thinking, uh-oh, I shouldn't have done that. And the person opened up the door and said, who are you? And I said, Mark Rasmussen. And, you know, the person, and I said, oh, Jerry Furso from Lancaster Baptist Church. And the guy got as white could be. He looked at me and he said, no! And I said, yes! And he said, I can't believe it. I said, what do you mean? He said, come in. And so I came into his house and went back into his family room. And he said, you wouldn't believe what happened. He said, this past week, I went to church for the first time in I don't know how many years. And I sat there in the message, I heard the message preached, and I was confused, and I walked out of there as empty as I went in. And I just prayed just a few seconds ago, Lord, help me to find a TV evangelist that will help me to answer some of the questions I have. And as soon as I prayed that, I began to go through the stations of my TV to find that TV evangelist, then all of a sudden I heard someone pounding on my door. And I thought for sure that was the devil trying to get me away from God. And we laughed a little bit, and just a few minutes later, I was able to open up God's Word and lead him to Christ. Now here it is. That was an opportunity that came because I prayed. When's the last time you prayed for an opportunity? Lord, give me an opportunity to share the gospel. Lord, I need you to open the doors for me. Lord, I'll walk through that door, but God, will you open that door for me so I can share the wonderful message of Christ? The Bible says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. You know something, church? I believe God has given us an open door throughout the Antelope Valley. But here it is. Will we pray for those open doors? And number two, will we have the faith to walk through those open doors? It's important that we understand we have to have that faith, believing that God will use us to share the message of Christ. Prayer, we need to pray for opportunities. Second of all, prayer produces boldness. Prayer produces boldness. Look at what the Bible says here in verse number 3. Wherewithal for us, praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, that to speak the mystery of Christ. You know, when you think about the Apostle Paul, you don't think a man that was lacking boldness. You think the Apostle Paul would have he would just charge hell with a squirt gun. But here we find throughout the scriptures, Paul asking for people to pray for him that he might speak. Look what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 6, verses 18 through 20. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Look at verse 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now we know the early church in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter number 2, 3, and 4, it just really was exciting how revival was taking place and lives were being changed and people were getting saved. And it was just an explosion spiritually was taking place in that early church. But the secret is found in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, where the Bible says that when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. When you and I pray, yes, opportunities present themselves. When you and I pray, we have boldness. Now, boldness is not being crude. It's not being argumentative. It's not being harsh. It's not looking down on people. It's not being judgmental. That's not boldness. Honestly, that's stupidity. What is boldness, though, in our witness? Here, let me give you a little acrostic. This is not in your notes, okay? So you might have to write this down. I for bold, B-O-L-D. The letter B stands for this. Be observant of the open doors. I think sometimes we just miss those opportunities. Some opportunities are presented right before us, and we miss them. But when you and I, when we pray for those opportunities, Lord, give me some open doors. Give me some opportunities so I can share your gospel with somebody. When you and I are praying about that and asking God to give us boldness, listen, we're going to see those open doors. Be observant of the open doors. The letter O, obey every impulse of the Holy Spirit. If we're going to have boldness, listen, we need to be observant of the open doors. We need to obey every impulse of the Holy Spirit. Now think about it. When you're standing in line, maybe at, let's say, Starbucks, and you sense, you don't audibly hear a voice talking to you, but you sense that still small voice in you to say, hey, talk to that person behind you. Hey, give that person a track. Can I tell you something? All right? That's not the devil doing that. All right? That's the Holy Spirit impressing upon us to be used by Him. Why is it do we resist that? Why do we reason ourselves? Do we say, Lord, here? Lord, me? Lord, with this person right now? Listen, when we pray for boldness and those opportunities present themselves, listen, we're going to obey that impulse. And we're going to step out in faith and say, Lord, use me. Not only we see the be observant, but also obey, letter L, love people patiently. Love them patiently. Listen, the people we witness to may not get saved the first time or the second time or the third time. It may take multiple times, but may I encourage you to love them unconditionally. Allow them to kind of assimilate the truth that we're sharing with them. I'm sure many of you didn't get saved the first time you heard the gospel. Aren't you thankful that someone loved you patiently? And when we reach out to people, listen, we need to love them patiently. And letter D, determined never to quit in spite of the results. Sometimes it's amazing. If we don't see people say, well, it doesn't work anymore. I didn't see anything. I had a couple people who say, no, you're always at my door. Well, listen, may I say this? There's many doors where we won't even get a response like this. Like, wow, where's your church at? Now, I know that blows our minds. It's like, you never heard about this church before? You just move in like yesterday? No, I've been here 20 years. I'm thinking, no, come on. But listen, determined never to quit. When I think of boldness, I think, man, I'm going to be observant. Man, I'm going to obey every impulse. I'm going to love people patiently and determined not to quit. May I challenge you, as you think about this fall season, hey, let's start praying for boldness. And there's some little snapshot of maybe what boldness might look like in our lives. But not only should we pray for opportunities and pray for boldness, I think prayer also produces clarity. Paul tells us here in verse number 3 that he might be able to open the door of utterance, that he might speak the mystery of Christ. Let's not rely upon the arm of the flesh or maybe our knowledge. May we pray and seek God's help that we might be able to communicate the gospel in such a way that people understand it. The Bible says in verse number 4 that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. I think one of the dangers is that we become robotic in our presentation. Every person's different. Every person that we come in contact with is viewing the gospel or their journey towards Christ. It's different, and that's why we need to pray. Lord, help me. I don't know where this person's at. I'm not sure the paradigm they're looking at Christianity. Lord, give me wisdom. Help me to know how to connect with this person. Lord, I might start with a different verse. I might just talk to them for a few minutes and help them to feel real comfortable with me and then kind of begin turning that ship towards spiritual matters. But we need to just pray and say, Lord, give me clarity. Help me to know what to say and how to say and when to say it. And Paul prayed for this. So as we think this evening about the role of prayer in our witnessing, may I say, it's huge. It's huge. But not only we see the role of prayer in our witnessing, but second of all, we see the resources for a powerful witness. Look at verse number 5. Verse number 5, the Bible says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. What are resources for a powerful witness? First of all, a worthy walk. A worthy walk. The Bible tells us here, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. I was talking to somebody. We were visiting the Stoner family at the hospital at UCLA. And while we were there, we were going to run out and get some food for the family. And as we were going, we we didn't know exactly where this restaurant was at, so we asked, it was a student and a medical student, and we said, hey, we're looking for this restaurant, do you know where it's at? And she said, oh, yeah, I know where it's at. And she asked us this question, are you two professionals? I was with Lisa's brother, and I thought that was kind of, I had a, shirt and tie on, and he was dressed nicely. It was on Sunday afternoon. And I said, well, I guess so. I guess we're professionals. And I said, he's an engineer. And I said, I'm a pastor. And she said, are you a Christian? And I said, yes, I am. I said, are you? And she said, no, I investigated Christianity. And this is what she said. But because of the Christians that were at that church, I don't want to be a Christian. I said, really? I began to talk to her. I said, listen, if you look at people are going to fail you. I said, there's only one that won't fail you, and that's Jesus Christ. But she said, yeah, but if you really believe who he is, wouldn't it have effect on how you live? Whoa. How's your walk? Does your walk help people to want what you have? Is your walk kind of making people thirsty to know more about Christianity? Listen, people can't see our hearts. A lot of times Christians say that. Well, only God knows my heart. You're right. God knows your heart. I don't know your heart. You don't know my heart. But what we do is we watch people. You watch how I live, and I watch how you live. And I know that you're not perfect, and you certainly know that I'm not perfect. But listen, I'm telling you. For some people, the only epistle they're going to read is your life. Amen. So we need to make sure that we are walking according to the rule of God's word so that our light is shining before man, so that people might glorify God. So listen, your walk is important. Don't downplay it. For some people, that's the only Christianity that they know is you. Boy, when you think of that, it's like, wow, that's heavy, that's big, that's huge. That's why we need to pray. That's why we need to be faithful and drink in God's word. Say, Lord, I need to have that worthy walk that immolates you and reflects you to this world. Well, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering and forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Wow. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, the Bible says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Are we walking in his steps? You know the old saying, your walk talks and your talk talks. Well, your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And that is so true. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That word circumspectly means exactly, accurately. It means diligently. Listen, we need to walk in such a way that we're diligent, that we are walking according to God's word. I don't know who's watching me, and you don't know who's watching you. Now, I know this. I know the world has a pretty high standard of how we ought to live. But may we be aware of that and say, Lord, help me to be that light for you. Help me not to send a message to somebody just because of the way I'm living my life. Listen, our behavior should embrace our witness, not erase it. We need to have a worthy walk, but second of all, we need to have a wholesome tongue. What the Bible says here, verse number 5, that you walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4, verse number 15, but speaking the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. When you share the truth of God's word, is there ever maybe a tear in the corner of your eye as you open up God's word and as you share that with somebody that is lost? Do they sense your love and concern for them? Or are we just kind of going through the motions? Do we have heart? Do we have compassion? Are we moved when people say no to Jesus? He says, speak the truth in love. But we need to have a worthy walk, and we need to have a wholesome tongue. But finally, let's look at this, the requirements for a productive walk. The requirements. Now, I want to share with you 4 quick requirements, and this is real practical, okay? So get your toolbox ready, okay? So first of all, what's the first requirement for having a productive walk? First of all, seeking for opportunities. We need to be seeking for opportunities. You know, Luke chapter number 19, verse number 10, the Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now listen, we all have lost something before. All of us. We lost our keys and, you know, we lost our wallet and, you know, we lost a kid. I mean, we've lost everything. You know, we lost it all, okay? Whatever it is, we've lost it, okay? We lost our homework, you know, we lost our you know, I don't know, your dog, okay? But we lost things, all right? We misplaced them, we don't know where they're at. But I love that verse where Jesus said, I've come seeking. How much do we seek the lost? How much do we seek it? I remember when my wife and I, when we got married, you wondered, why do I have a black wedding ring? If you were married to my wife, you would know why. Just kidding, okay? That was a joke, okay? Okay, not a good joke, erase that, okay? All right. But when I got married, I never wore a ring. I didn't wear jewelry. I just didn't. And I would always take my ring off and place it someplace, and I would always forget where it's at. And she would say, oh, don't you want to be married to me? I said, oh, yeah, of course I want to be married to you. I just don't like wearing a ring. So I lay it down. And I remember one time, I don't know what we were doing. But we were having a snowball fight after church, and, you know, as a husband, wife, young couple still, and still having fun doing stuff like that. You know, we weren't too sophisticated yet. And while we were playing, having that snowball fight, my ring, you know, your finger shrinks, and my ring fell off, and we couldn't find it. And so it was kind of discouraging, and so we prayed and prayed, and it was amazing. In the springtime, we started picking weeds and by the garage, and guess what we found? We found the ring. And my wife was so excited about that, and, you know, picking weeds, we find the wedding ring. And not too long after, I lost it again. And honestly, I felt like a big loser, you know, kept on losing the wedding ring. And we just tore the house apart. We looked everywhere, couldn't find it. I mean, you know how it is, you go to the cushions and you dig down in there and you get the, you know, the broken pretzels and, you know, the M&Ms are all kind of melted and all that. Yeah, we pull all that stuff out. No ring. No ring at all. We couldn't find it. And honestly, you know, I was getting to the point where, you know, I just said, honey, I love you, but don't worry about it, okay? I'm committed to you, okay? And she says, no, we got to find it. We searched. We couldn't find it. And I remember one Saturday night, we were sitting in our love seat, and she said, we were kind of being romantic, and she grabs my hand. She says, why don't we pray that we would find your wedding ring? And honestly, I said, honey, I don't want to pray about that. You know, I don't want to pray about this. She said, no, let's pray about it. I said, honey, I don't want to. I said, we prayed about it. We looked for it. We can't find it. I don't want to pray about it. She says, please, I just sense that the Lord's going to help us find it. And I said, honey, I don't want to pray about it. She said, please, if you love me, you'll pray. All right, so great man of faith I am. Lord, help us find the wedding ring. Amen. All right, that was basically the prayer. And she says, okay, now let's look for it. I said, honey, come on, where are we going to look? Well, let's start right here. I said, honey, we've looked here before. And I said, well, you prayed, right? And I said, well, yeah. So she stuck her hand down in the love seat there, and she pulled out the ring. And I looked, I said, you planted it. And she still promises me to this day that she didn't plant that ring. Well, it wasn't too long I lost that ring anyway, so. But every time I lost a ring, I always looked for it. Now, she bought me this one. This is $9, all right? She's a big spender, all right? And I don't lose this one. I don't even know what's on my finger. I don't even know why I said all that. Here, oh, seeking, all right. I knew I was going someplace. We need to seek for those opportunities. Now, here it is. We're going to be seeking for those opportunities. We're going to throw some things up on the screen here to help us to do that. All right? Okay? All right, Thursday night, that's tomorrow night. We're going to have the soul winning kickoff in the North Auditorium. We're going to have a wonderful dinner. I think it's steak and lobster. Just have a good imagination, okay? All right? 6:00. We're going to have resources available for you. Everyone that comes tomorrow night will receive the 4 outreach kit. All right, you have this. I mean, everything that you need. All right, you got breath mints in there. You got a $100 bill in there. And everything you need is in this kit, okay? And everyone's going to receive one of these tomorrow. All right, so if Thursday night's your time, you're going to get this. For Saturday, we're going to have soul winning. But you, tomorrow, also not only this, but you also get your soul winning partner. Now, listen, if we're going to be seeking, what you're going to have to do is just kind of schedule things. People say, I just kind of go soul winning in my own time. I wish I could say that is okay, but most of the time, you don't. When you have a partner and you have that commitment, hey, let's be there Thursday nights, guess what? You have a greater tendency to be there. Then on Saturday, we got the same thing coming up this Saturday, and it's going to be breakfast at 9 a.m., and I think it's steak and eggs, okay? So we're going to have a wonderful time. So Saturday morning, you're going to get your kit too, all right? So we're looking forward to that. Then we got some great opportunities coming up for the open house. Soul winning training starts on October 28th. So you want to be a part of that. You could sign up to be a part of that. It's going to start in Rebels 103 at 7:00, and we're going to be going through the new book that Pastor just wrote, Take It Personally. And so if you're new to soul winning or if you need a refresher's course, we'll be going through that book together for about 5 weeks or so, 6 weeks. And then we have the open house that's coming up, and we're going to have another breakfast. Every time we have soul, we have food. All right? And so we're going to meet in the breezeway at 9:00, October 1st. And honestly, on October 1st, we need everybody to be a part of this as we go out in our community seeking for those opportunities to share the gospel. But not only do we need to be seeking, but second of all, we need to see those opportunities. We need to see them. You know, Jesus said this in John chapter 4. He says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. We need to see those opportunities. I think if we're seeking, we'll be seeing, and then thirdly, we'll be seizing those opportunities. Paul said, for which I am an apostle in bonds, therewith I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But if we're not seeking, if we're not seeing, and if we're not seizing, we're squandering. We're squandering the opportunities that God gives us to share the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. I think one of the most convicting verses is 1 Corinthians 15:34, where Paul writes, "Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." Now, church, can I just challenge you in this area? We need to take 1 Corinthians 15:34 and personalize it. There's people that don't have the knowledge of God because of me. Because I didn't see, I wasn't seeking, and I didn't seize the opportunity. I squandered it. And there's some that don't have the knowledge of God because of you. Because you weren't seeking the opportunity, you weren't seeing the opportunity, and you weren't seizing the opportunity. As we look at our society, we would all agree that spiritually it's dark. And in general, people are moving away from God rather than moving closer to God. In church, that's why this fall season is so important. The people of this valley need you and me to be involved in taking the life-changing message of Jesus Christ to them personally. Amen. Don't be discouraged because of the spiritual condition of our society. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation." Paul's writing to these believers at Philippi and saying, listen, you live in a crooked and perverse nation. What's his challenge? "Among whom ye shine as lights in the world." How is it possible for us to be faithful and contagious and bold and compassionate and personal and gentle and courageous and loving and friendly and have an impactful witness? How is that possible? Recently, we went mountain bike riding at night. And it was about 10 o'clock at night. And we were in the mountains, and it was just pitch black. We had these lights. And I was with a group of deputies and guys that I'm trying to reach with the gospel of Christ. And as we were riding, one of the deputies, their lights went out. This light right here is useless without this power. And our lives are useless without the power of Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit working in each and every one of us. We cannot do this work. We cannot have an eternal impact in this community apart from the power of the Holy Spirit working and moving in each of our lives. Amen. But when we are connected and the power of God is working in and through us freely, it doesn't matter how dark this world is, our light will shine. Now the question to us tonight as a church, will we shine? Will we allow the light of the gospel to shine in this dark valley? This valley needs you and me to shine. If we don't shine, how will they ever know about our loving Savior. It's time for you and I to say, you know what? Count me in. Count me in. I'm going to let my light so shine before men so that they might know the wonderful Savior that I embrace.